Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special episode of Hollywood Week, the podcast. My name is Keenan Culler, and I am joined once again by the heart of Chicago, the 100% official doctor. It's Kaysen Culler. Kaysen, it's been a long time, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Keenan. It has been a long time. I feel like we've been kind of in a slump as far as the movie theaters go. I can't remember the last movie that really got me hyped, but we're going to be digging into that tonight. So it is good to be back with you. I am excited to talk.
Kaysen, we got the writer's strike. We got the actor's strike. We got strikes we don't even know about. It's been a real kind of downer few months, I feel like, for Hollywood. We had big plans for the podcast, but with no content, what are we going to do? You know, just riff?
Yeah, what are we supposed to talk about? There's nothing to talk about. Just do it again until it finally comes out.
It's been a while, but it feels good to be back with you tonight. We have a very special and I think very interesting episode for all of our listeners, all 12 of them. We're going to do something that I feel like we've touched on in the past, of course. But tonight, we're going to do a deep dive on the status of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That includes film, that includes television, and let's be honest, Kaysen, it's grim. It's yucky out there, dude. It is. They're on life support at the moment, and we are going to dedicate this episode to, number one, what would we do if we were running Marvel? How do we right the ship? How do we save the brand, save the franchise? Let's put our Kevin Feige producer hats on and go to work. And then the second thing we're going to do tonight, we're going to also live in reality and just accept the fact that there are projects coming that we cannot shove in the dumpster. Right. And I want to talk about those upcoming projects that have been confirmed that we know about and talk about best case scenario for each one of them, what we hope for, what we think they need to deliver on, and kind of take off from there. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect, man. I think that if Kevin Feige has, you know, a couple hours to spare, it would really benefit him to listen to this discussion because we're going to be dropping some wisdom for sure.
Yeah, man. I'll have to shoot him a text. I mean, I have Marty up. Obviously, I have Marty, who's you know, in my phone, in my contacts. But Feige, I'm gonna have to do some digging. But I think I can get a hold of him. Kaysen, one thing I totally forgot about.
What
we're gonna the entire reason this episode is happening, the catalyst for all this conversation, a little movie that I know you were very excited to check out, Marvels.
Oh, dude, how could you forget about the Marvels? Everyone's talking about it.
The Marvels, dude, with Captain Marvel, with Ms. Marvel, and with Photon Marvel.
Who never actually gets a name by the end of the movie, I don't think. They weren't too confident.
And with Nick Farvel.
It was Nick Farvel. And Flarvelkin.
Oh my gosh, dude, I knew you would like that one, man. No, the Marvels is causing quite the stir because number one, it's an atrocious piece of garbage as just a film. But number two, it ain't making a lot of money, Kaysen. It is dire. So I think before we do anything else, we need to talk about the Marvels. We're going to give our brief thoughts on the movie. I really don't think we need to do too much of a deep dive into this, but we will kind of give some thoughts. I don't even think, honestly, that I have the motivation, as sad as this sounds, to rank it. like maybe at some point in the future.
I think we have to. I think we have to, though. Maybe, if not tonight, sometime.
Oh, we will. For sure. I mean, for sure, dude. Once we're back in the swing, once Marvel deserves our attention and respect again, as far as their film, you know, output goes, we'll rank the Marvels. But tonight, I just don't have it in me, dude, to really give it the proper thought.
That's fair. You got to be in the mood. I get it.
But Kaysen, real quick, I know, you know, we like to do all killer and very little filler, but I have to ask you, it's been so long, man. What's going on with you being a doctor? What's going on with your penthouse in Chicago close to Navy Pier? What's up, dude? How are you feeling? How's life?
It's good, man. This year's a lot better than last year for sure as far as my schedule goes. So still got the same place in Chicago in the high rise right by Navy Pier. Loving the lake. The weather is getting colder, as I love to comment on, but looking forward to the holidays, and the hospital is just running full steam, dude. The beds never get empty. People are always getting sick. People are always getting injured. There's never a shortage, so I guess
see, that's
take
why
that how you will.
See, Kason, that's the thing, man. You've been, the last however many months, you've been doing a great job of saving lives, and that's why I think saving Marvel is going to be a good transition for you.
Yes, because, you know, that'll ultimately, like, spill over to the most lives that I could really touch. So,
yeah,
you
know. Yeah, we're either gonna save it, or we're gonna put the pillow over its face and call it a night.
Yeah, for the betterment of mankind.
Anyway, I'm glad you're doing good. Let's get into it, Kason. Let's dive into the Marvels. As you know, I mean, this is a movie that I think had very little buzz. People were not excited about it. I feel like the writing was on the wall with this thing from a mile away. And we got a chance to check it out, like, what, almost a month ago now.
Yeah.
So let's start off with that, because again, that was the catalyst for us even wanting to do this episode. We'll get into the box office. We'll get into kind of the I guess lack of footprint that it made in the, you know, in the zeitgeist and kind of how it was a big flop. But as a movie, I'm going to let you start off, dude. And we're going spoilers. I don't even know if that matters. Like, we're not going to talk about it long enough to really get into the nitty gritty. But if you don't want to know anything about the Marvels, we might accidentally slip up and spoil. Kason, take it away. The Marvels. What's up? Brie Larson, your girl, dude.
Brie Larson, my girl. Yeah. I feel like we should preface this whole conversation with just the variety of questionable marketing decisions that went into this movie, and kind of just the question of, like, what did they really think was going to happen? Because I think the recipe they were working with here was kind of a disaster. You have Brie Larson, who is coming off of her previous movie, Captain Marvel, nobody's favorite movie in the MCU. Some people would say it's decent. Some people would say it's not very good. It did make a lot of money, but I think it had the little boost from being right in between the two Avengers movies, so that definitely gave it a bump in the profitability compared to what it would have been. And then Brie Larson in general just has not been the most popular celebrity in the media recently, so I think a lot of people were not very happy with her, don't really find her very likable, regardless of, you know, what you think, if you're listening. Then you have, I can't even, Ms. Marvel. I'm literally getting the characters confused already because their names are...
Nick Farvel?
You have Ms. Marvel, who is a great character, great actress, coming off of a Disney Plus show that nobody watched and that ended terribly, in my opinion. You have Nick Farvel, Nick Fury, who used to be a popular character, but I would say based on the performance of Secret Invasion, which, you know, three people apparently watched and most people didn't like.
I did.
He is no longer really in the limelight as far as the MCU goes, it seems. And then you have Tiana Paris, who is a side character in a popular Disney Plus show, but, you know, I would say that's not really a huge draw. So I don't know who they thought was going to do the heavy lifting to get people to come see this. But in the end, I would say it just came across as really lazy. I feel like the script was a total mess. There were some redeeming qualities. I would say the performances were actually decent. Brie Larson is pretty much just how she always is. I thought it was fine. There were some sequences where her character was really off-putting. I did not like the way she was delivering some of the more lighthearted, like, sarcastic lines. I thought it just didn't fit with who they were trying to make her character, and the way she was saying them was not pleasant to me. And then the plot just made no sense at all. The villain was terrible. What the villain was trying to do was an interesting idea, but just executed in, like, the most boring, lazy way I could imagine. And really the only positives I would give it were that there were a couple of genuinely funny moments, in my opinion, mostly revolving around the cats and Kamala, Ms. Marvel's family. And then I thought some of the action was pretty well directed, but really, other than that, it was just, like, totally forgettable and kind of a mess, in my opinion. What do you think?
Kason, I thought this movie sucked hard, dude. I told you when I left, I think it might be the worst movie in the entire MCU.
You did say that.
I think just strictly as a movie, it is the worst. I feel confident in saying that. Like you alluded to, it is a mess. That's a good way of describing it. The editing is horrible. The story is completely incoherent, makes no sense upon the slightest bit of, you know, analyzing. It just crumbles. It is just a misfire in almost every single way. And like you said, it feels lazy. Like, it just feels so haphazardly thrown together that you can't believe it's kind of the Rise of Skywalker syndrome, where it's like, you know, there are so many eyeballs on this project before you even go into production waiting for it to fail. So how can this be the product you put forward?
Yeah, you know, it feels like the first writer just submitted like one draft of the script, and then it just kind of went to like five other different editors in succession and never really came back to the first person. And it was just like chopped together with like different people's, you know, ideas of varying quality.
Yeah, totally. And look, I think, like you said, the three leads are not bad. And I think Iman Vellani. Yeah, sorry, I said that wrong. Iman Vellani is great as Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan. I loved her in the TV show. I said back then she was a star. She was someone that you want to put front and center. And I think she delivered in this movie. She was definitely the bright spot for me. But she can only do so much, you know, in a sea of garbage. And, you know, moving over to Brie Larson, kind of returning as Captain Marvel with a lot more eyeballs on her, like seeing if she's going to kind of, you know, pick it up or kind of stay in the same lane. I just don't think she is right for this character for whatever reason. It does not click for her. Like watching her try to emote and, like you said, try to like drop comedic lines, it's similar to watching Arnold in the Terminator. Like when John Connor was trying to teach him how to be a human, and he's robotic because he is a robot, and like, you know, he's a cyborg, and it's just I'm obviously exaggerating, but it's the same where it's like, why is she so wooden and bad at delivering these lines?
Right.
And it's crazy, dude, because I just watched Fast X. Okay.
Which
she was in that movie, and she was a lot better. Like, again, it was kind of another cornball type thing where she was just playing like a somewhat cheesy, goofy character. Yeah. And she was just a lot better. And it's weird. It's like, I think she just doesn't really vibe with Carol Danvers. And I don't know why that is. But
yeah, it's kind of a weird character. I mean, I don't think her performance is good, but I also just think the character has not really been like given a good grounding by the writers, like even in the first movie. So I don't really think she has a lot to work with, you know, to like get into it.
Yeah, this story was horrible, man. I mean, if you think of the end of Captain Marvel when she kind of takes off and you think of all the adventures she could be on, you know, in the galaxy, all over these different planets, doing these big, crazy things, because, again, she is such a powerful character. There was so much potential for where they left that. And then to see it come back to this, like, this is the sequel. This is what we've been waiting for 4 years or whatever. And this is all they have. It's like a made for TV movie. It's just like, how, you know, it's like,
it's crazy.
Let's get to Tiana Paris real quick, playing a character that, I mean, Monica Rambeau, but I don't even think they gave her a superhero name. They kind of joke around about how she doesn't have one.
Right.
She's obviously from WandaVision. I thought she was okay. Like, she seems like she's a good supporting player.
I thought she was good. I mean, I thought her performance was, like, actually good. It's just, you know, it doesn't. It can't move the needle, kind of like Ms. Marvel, like you said.
Yeah, and look, the three leads, like, they had chemistry at times, and I liked their camaraderie at times. It just, it wasn't enough. You know, I keep going back to that. It just wasn't enough to carry the movie. There were some really fun action sequences. I think the first time, I mean, as we've seen from the trailers, the big gimmick here is that when they use their powers at the same time, they switch locations with each other.
Right.
Which is fun. I don't know if it's fun enough to build an entire movie around, but it is fun. And I thought the first time that they realized this is happening, great action set piece, a lot of fun. I had a big smile on my face. I thought this is when Nia DaCosta did a great job directing this. But that was maybe one of the only times. I don't know. What do you
cool
think of that
concept? I like the concept for the action scenes. Like, I agree the first sequence is really good, having them all be in different locations and then kind of just playing with the chaos of like what happens when they flip places. And it was a good idea to have one of the fights be like happening on Earth, you know, one of them in space, like kind of in this variety of different scenarios. I think that the switching places concept, though, was the perfect opportunity for them to bring it back around at the end of the movie and then have a great action scene where they have basically mastered the power and then they're switching places with each other, like, coordinated, you know, in a way where they're using it against the enemies to get the upper hand. And I think that just would have been such a great chance for some awesome choreography, and they never really did that, in my opinion. They even had them go through, like, the training arc of using the power, and it never paid off, in my opinion. Like, I don't think they ever used it, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's no, I totally agree. I mean, that would have been too clever for the writers to come up with something yeah. like that for the end of the movie. Instead, they gave us an ending straight out of a PS2 video game where... I mean, this is one of those Star endings, dude, where you literally just throw up your hands and you're just like, I don't know what you want me to do with this. Like, you feel like you're watching Zack Snyder, Man of Steel, like just another one of those what is even happening right now
on,
type
dude.
Things.
She was trying to steal the sun. What do you want from her? Through a tiny hole.
Dude, it would have been amazing if when she was like flying to that tiny hole, you see Matthew McConaughey from Interstellar just tumbling past her.
Whoa.
He's like, it's Murph! Been, it's Murph!
Been, it's been 35 years.
No, but yeah, the ending sucked, dude. Hey, I do want to talk about a couple scenes. I have more things to say, but I want to talk about a couple scenes in particular that were very divisive. I think we have maybe... a slightly different viewpoints on these scenes. The first one, and again, some minor spoilers here. The first one is this sequence that a lot of people are talking about where they go to a planet where the only way that you can communicate is through song. So for about 10 minutes of the movie, it just turns into a straight up musical where they all these characters in this planet are singing. I think you hated this.
I hated this.
I won't put words in your mouth.
I did.
I did not. Correct. I did not like this. This was, I know this word gets used too much, but this was the definition of cringe. Like, this is one of those things when you're watching it in the theater, you feel uncomfortable because it wasn't funny at all. And it also wasn't earned.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I had told you if this was in something like Ragnarok or even Guardians of the Galaxy, better example, I feel like it would have fit the vibe of what they were going for. But this movie was so tonally all over the place that when they bust out this goofy song and dance bullshit, you don't even know what to do with it.
Yep, agree completely.
But here's what I will say. The reason I didn't hate it is because at least it was something kind of interesting. And I like the idea that the prince of this planet, they had a really funny joke where he could talk. He didn't have to sing. And when they ask how come he can talk, he says he's bilingual. And I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good one-liner. And just to clarify, I didn't really mind the large group singing part, like when they're first arriving to the planet and everyone is singing. I thought that was fine. What I hated was more like the individual solos the characters were singing. I thought that was just terribly like edited and performed, and like everything about it was just, like you said, so cringy that I could not even decide what it was supposed to be. Like if it was supposed to be laugh out loud funny, you know, because it's like so awkward, or if it was supposed to be like, oh wow, like this is a cute song she's singing, you know, I really didn't even know.
The way that I reacted to this was similar to how I felt every time I saw like MODOK on screen from Quantumania, where it's like
another classic Marvel movie.
Yeah, where it's like it sucks, but I couldn't tell like how much do I hate this right now.
Yeah, fair enough. Everyone then, will decide their own level of hatred.
The other scene I wanted to talk about is the scene in the ship where all of the cats are being born out of these eggs, all of the Flurkins, and they are eating the crew members in order to, you know, safely take them off the ship because these alien cats are able to like ingest, you know, seven people and fit them in their stomach somehow. Again, this wasn't as egregious as the singing, but still it just felt like weird to me in this movie. I don't know why. What did you think of this scene?
I love this scene. And see, this is where I'm surprised you're comparing it to the singing scene because I think they're totally different. I feel like the singing thing comes out of completely nowhere to where it's just like, what? Like, who came up with this? Whereas the cat thing, I think, is kind of a clever evolution of like a concept that they've introduced, you know, throughout the Captain Marvel movies up until this point. And I just thought it was a really funny scene. Like, it was kind of something you would see in Guardians, where it's just like, oh my gosh, like, the cats are eating everybody. But the way that it was done, I thought was executed really well with kind of the dry humor of the overhead voice announcing, please let the Flurkins eat you. Like, stop running, you know? All that stuff just really worked for me. It seemed like the scene kind of knew what it was doing a little bit more than the others.
Yeah, and I think maybe the problem is, similar to the what I mentioned with the singing scene, it's like, because the movie felt so disjointed and all over the place to me, this felt like just another random, like, gag that was kind of thrown in out of nowhere, where I was like, it just didn't flow to me, but it was better. Fair. It was better executed. There was a really funny scene where Kamala Khan, basically traps this guy by a wall and apologizes to him. Like, I'm so sorry that I have to have this cat eat you right now. But
yeah, totally. And at least it involved the cats, which was like already an established, you know, mechanic, I guess.
Correct. And I think we have to talk about just the villain. Darben. I mean, perfect name, Darben. Like, you say that and you just feel dead inside. It reminds me of Team America when they're like, Matt Damon. It's like, when you say it's like Darben. Just a horrible ass dude. Horrible villain, man. Like, this villain, it sucked. I mean, sucked so hard. I don't even know what to say. Like,
you didn't like when she was hitting the one thing with the other thing and like making it resonate or whatever.
Horrible, dude. It sucked ass. Her plan was terrible. Her plan involved basically saving her planet from a Captain Marvel incident that we didn't even see. Yeah, like, right. They showed us this in flashback form. It's like, wait, what?
The movie did make me question whether I was supposed to remember that or not.
Totally.
Like,
me too.
The way they did the flashback was like, wait a second, like, is this from something? Like, when did this happen? And then after the movie, I was like, oh, I guess not. I guess that was just their way of telling you what happened.
Also, the plan being like, we want to steal the elements from other planets and transport them to ours. Couldn't you find a planet that was like uninhabited
and just move?
I mean,
there.
Like, yeah, well, that or steal something from that planet instead of a planet that has like thousands of innocent people dying. You know,
I thought you meant just move your people to that planet that has all the stuff.
That would
work
too.
That's a good point. Kaysen, I don't know.
That leads right into the Middle East conflict, and I want to talk about that next.
Oh, perfect.
No, I'm joking. Come on, we're not going to talk about that. Kaysen,
resource management, dude.
The last thing that I want to mention, dude, and I think that we have to talk about this, and this will lead kind of into what we're going to go into next, but just the idea of taking two of your lead characters, right, in Monica Rambeau and Ms. Marvel, and basically having TV series on Disney Plus that a lot of people did not watch. Right. Especially in the case of Ms. Marvel, and then elevating them to lead characters in a $200 million movie.
Yeah,
I think we're about to get into this more, but I just wanted to know, what are your thoughts on that as a viewer? Now, we watch these shows, but if you didn't watch them, would you feel even worse about this movie?
Yeah, so to be honest, I actually like the idea of it from a storytelling standpoint, if they had executed it well. I don't think they did it well, but I'm totally open as a fan to them bringing in characters that they establish in longer TV shows and then putting them into the movies. I like that. From a marketing perspective, I think it was terrible because I think that it's just confusing for people who don't know who the characters are. It makes them feel like they needed to have done more homework in advance to have the movie be accessible to them. And I think obviously none of these characters were very popular, and a lot of people felt like they were kind of out of the loop on this movie, I would guess. So okay for me conceptually, not a good idea for marketing. And I think they just chose a bad combination of characters. Obviously, I'm sure they didn't expect Ms. Marvel, the show, to flop as hard as it did. And, you know, at that point, I think they already kind of had the movie in motion. So what could they do?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about, I'm going to save my thoughts on that for our next segment.
Okay.
And not go into it there. But yeah, I mean, if I hadn't watched WandaVision, hadn't watched Ms. Marvel, I would be totally lost because I did not think this movie did a good job at all of, we'll say, reestablishing who these characters were.
Right.
It's almost, I mean, they gave us a little flashbacks here and there, but like, if you didn't watch these shows, you would just be like, who are these two ladies? You know, like, I don't know where they came from.
Exactly. And you also really kind of had to remember some things from the first Captain Marvel, which I think makes sense because it's a sequel, but I think, as we'll probably talk about, now the MCU is getting into the problem of, like, you know, that was like years and years ago that that movie came out at this point, I think, right? So people are like, now that there have been 15 projects in between the first Captain Marvel and this movie, I think people don't remember what even happened in that movie. You know, like they're just oversaturating the story, you have to know.
Yep, and that's going to be a talking point as well. Just the space between these projects are ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the last thing I want to say, post-credit scene that I want to talk about, it's not post-credits, it's actually the last scene in the movie. But again, back to what, kind of piggybacking off what we just said.
Big spoiler. Big spoiler alert.
Big spoiler. You have Ms. Marvel, a character that a lot of people have no idea, and then meeting up with Kate Bishop, another character that if you didn't watch Hawkeye, you have no clue who this character is.
Right. Now, or even if you did casually watch Hawkeye, you might just be like, yeah. Oh, yeah, like that girl.
Now, I love Hailee Steinfeld. I popped hard for this moment, you know, yeah. A little bit of pelvic thrusting, a little bit of shadow boxing. But I'm just saying, for the most viewers, I don't know who Ms. Marvel is. I don't know who Kate Bishop is. And they're setting up something that no one cares about, the Young Avengers. No one gives a single shit. I can tell you right now, Kaysen, you make a Young Avengers movie, it will crash and burn so hard. I mean, the only option is you make it a Disney Plus series, right?
Yeah, or you put Spider-Man
Young
in
Avengers. Well, no, or Miles. Never.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's how you would get it to go off. Yeah,
right. Yeah. But anyway, real quick, box office wise, yikes! Gonna rank this later down the road. Again, it's low. Let's just say that it's low right now on the list.
Let's just say it's lower than Winter Soldier, at least.
Kaysen, really think about these numbers, okay? And I'm not trying to be over the top. I'm not trying to exaggerate. But this is insane to me.
Okay.
The Marvels is currently sitting at 80 million domestic.
That's insane.
It's so low. Its results are starting to dwindle so hard that Disney said they are no longer going to report the numbers anymore. It's out of the top 10. Yeah. It's making like maybe a mil, if that, you know.
That's embarrassing. It's a total burner for them.
It didn't make 100 million domestic, Kaysen.
Yikes.
Unbelievable. And I mean, look, I know it's not, I don't have the exact numbers. I probably should have prepped better, but like, even something like Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, if I'm remembering right, made like 110 million opening weekend, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Opening weekend. The Marvels is at 80 million total collectively.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
It is the lowest domestic ever for the MCU. Globally, it's at 197. So, I mean, you got to think this thing is going to top out globally a little over 200, probably, which is not even making back its budget, let alone marketing, all that good stuff that comes with it, let alone the fact that all of these budgets, I'm sure, are underreported for what they actually are, you know?
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. And it sucks, man. We saw it from a mile away, you know? That's all I'll say. We saw it coming from a mile away.
We did, but I genuinely didn't see this brutal of a failure coming. Like, I would have never told you it wouldn't even make 100 million domestically.
It just came at the worst possible time. You know, it came off Secret Invasion, which nobody watched. It just came off a series of bad movies, save for Guardians, and TV projects that nobody really either actively disliked or didn't pay attention to.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk about the MCU, but I would like to hear specifically for this movie at some point, like, what you think the biggest factors were contributing to its failure. Do you think it is a reflection of how people are feeling right now about the MCU in general, or do you think it's more just that this specific movie was not appealing at all? Like, based on the characters and the story, you know?
I think like what we're about to speak on, it is a multifaceted problem.
Sure.
That it's like the perfect storm, you know? You definitely had the toxicity, which everybody wants to blame as the primary thing. I think that's stupid. Of the people online just rooting against this movie because it was like female led, you know, it's like Brie Larson's a very polarizing figure in the MCU. So there, I think that's some of it, is just people wanting to hate this thing right from the jump. But the other thing is the marketing was horrible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you had zero clue what the movie was about. It was terrible. They were shoehorning in these pathetic Avengers tie-ins, like, leading up to the release.
Yeah.
Horrible, dude. Horrible. It just reeked of desperation. So the trailers were bad. And then the movie itself, it wasn't good.
You know, I mean, do you think that matters a lot? Like, do you think a lot of people looked and saw the tomato score and were like, oh, I'm not seeing that?
Definitely, dude. When people are already on the fence, right? Like, when people are already like, eh, do I really want to go spend $30? Like, and take me and my wife or me and my friend or whoever and go see this thing? Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. Bad reviews, bad word of mouth. It's like, why? Why would we do that?
Yeah, that's that makes sense.
And,
I think that's
side of this is Disney Plus. If you know, okay, I don't really have a strong desire to see this, I'll just wait a couple months and watch it on Disney Plus. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, true. I mean, that's a good point. I'm just curious how many people are actually doing that, because I feel like it would kind of make a difference in the argument if people are still invested in the MCU, but they're just watching more of it on Disney Plus now. Versus, like, not even watching it, you know? Like, I would like to know those numbers, but...
Yeah, I don't know if we ever will, but... I guess last thing I'll say, then we'll get into our next segment of how we would save the MCU from this rock bottom that they're currently at.
Yeah.
I do think, kind of touching on the whole, like, toxicity and a lot of the trolls and people just waiting to hate this movie did not have anything approaching, you know, whatever, I don't even know what you would say, right? Like, preachy, message heavy, woke, quote unquote. It pretty much stayed away from all of that. I would say even more than the original Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do wonder if a lot of MCU fans honestly just weren't that interested in a movie with three female leads. Like, to be real, you know, I don't know.
Definitely
could be a factor. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. Like, you cannot expect you have to appeal to demographics, right?
Yeah,
and it's not
MCU
to say
fans,
I mean,
are mostly men, no question. So.
Exactly, and me and you are guys, and we both went and watched it. But again, we're two pretty hardcore fans of the franchise, and so I don't think that we're probably the norm. And so I think not having, I mean, yeah, you had Nick Farvel in there, but I don't think that like, not having any kind of male lead, you know, really was a smart decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strictly for box office.
Yeah. I
think given you're right. Who your primary fan base is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and again, let's just get right into our next segment. Kaysen, we are in charge of Marvel.
Finally.
I just
my application's been pending for years.
Dude, I just snapped my fingers. Better yet, I just found a lamp. I rubbed the hell out of that thing, and Robin Williams popped out, dude. And he said, Mr. Keenan, sir, what will your pleasure be? And I said,
is that what he says?
Yeah, that's what he says. He said, what will your pleasure be? And I put on that hat, and I said, Robin, I am now Kevin Feige.
Yes.
And he said,
Kevin Farvel.
Done. Done. You're Kevin Feige.
Got it.
So we're running the show, dude. What's up? What do you do to right the ship? You can do anything. You have carte blanche to do whatever you want, dude.
Yeah.
How do you fix this right now? This moment we're in. What do you do?
Yeah, dude, it's a good question. And I think this is one of those things where I do need to separate what I would ideally want as a fan and what just, like, makes the most sense for, you know, how things should be marketing-wise going forward. I really think the first thing I would do is completely stop making Disney Plus shows. Just stop. Cut them all. Cancel the ones that are already in process. Don't make anymore. What do you think about that? I think they're kind of ruining the brand a little bit.
Disney Plus is a great place to start for us as leaders of Marvel now.
Yeah.
Because I don't agree with you to completely axe it.
Okay.
But, and this is where what you said earlier I kind of disagreed with.
Okay.
I do not think, after seeing the Marvels, I don't think you can do what they are trying to do. And I used to be a believer. I used to be optimistic. I do not think you can set up characters on television and then propel them to leads in movies.
Like, from an execution standpoint or from a marketing standpoint?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I think you can have them as secondary characters. I think you can have them in the movies. But I just think it doesn't make sense to spend $220 million on a feature film in hope that enough people saw your lead in all the character development that goes with that on a streaming show.
Yeah, but that's... So you're saying from a marketing standpoint. You think from a storytelling perspective, you could do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's what
so,
I mean.
Yes.
Like you like the idea conceptually. You just don't think it could possibly work from a financial standpoint because people aren't going to invest.
That's exactly... It's too risky. It's too risky.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know if they've seen your work, you know? And it's like you... Yeah, you can kind of give them the cliff notes in a movie. So my thinking is, number one, Disney Plus, you dramatically cut down on content. You know, I know that streaming lives and dies based on how much content you have on the platform, but you are diluting the brand. So the first thing we're going to do, Kaysen, we are only having one series a year. That's
like it.
Okay. It is big. It is an event. It is something everybody's going to watch, and it is almost completely disconnected from the larger cinematic world.
Okay.
It can complement it, right? It can be something similar to how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which from what I saw of that show kind of sucked, but like they would take the events in the first season, I believe, of the Avengers and kind of fill in some of the details in a fun way.
Yeah, so you would almost want it to be something like Secret Invasion. If they just executed that perfectly and made it awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Because they are taking something set up in Captain Marvel, giving it room to breathe, you know, and it doesn't affect the future going, well, I mean, again, that's a problem with Secret Invasion. It kind of did, you know what I mean? But like they need to stop doing that. They need to use these TV series as either standalone stories, similar to how the Netflix did with Punisher, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, or you take something already established in the cinematic world and you kind of just fill in some gaps and make it a fun bonus series of like, you know, people who like, I don't know, Winter Soldier are going to like to watch a series about Robert Redford's character, you know, and such and such, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I like that. Go ahead.
No, so I was going to say, so what do you think of that? You immediately cut down these series and you make it like one, and let's dive right into this while we're talking about the Disney Plus series. This 6-episode bullshit, get out of here. It's done. We are 8 episodes minimum, dude. Minimum.
Okay.
The sweet spot is 8 to 12 episodes. All of these 6-episode series are insulting to the viewer. It doesn't work. We've seen it time and time and time again. You cannot tell any kind of fulfilling, coherent story, at least the way Marvel's been doing it, in 6 episodes. It doesn't work.
It's weird because in my mind, I feel like 6 episodes should be enough to tell a good story. But I mean, you're right. They've been failing at it. So I don't know. Maybe the WandaVision format is better of like more shorter episodes.
But. Dude, 6 episodes is a good length if you're telling this tight, contained story that maybe takes place over a week.
Yeah.
Or a few days.
I feel like that's what they should be telling.
Right, but the problem is all of these Disney Plus shows, I mean, all of them, Hawkeye, Ms. Marvel, Falcon and Winter Soldier, they're telling these elaborate stories that feel like the setup is always solid, and then it just collapses in on itself. I mean, look at Moon Knight, right?
I feel like Hawkeye was probably the best example of them nailing the pacing, at least to me.
Some of that is because, and that, you know, I like Hawkeye, but some of that is because that story was probably the most, like...
Simple.
See, yeah, exactly, yeah, like simple, lighthearted.
Like an adventure. But, yeah.
So, I mean...
I like your idea. Honestly, if it were up to me, I would still just completely stop the Disney Plus stuff. I don't think it's helping them at all. I think they just need to put full resources, energy into the movies. But, you know, if you're going to keep it, then I like your idea of reducing it, at least.
Yeah, because again, though, I think there is potential there. I think something like what we'll talk about next, the Daredevil series, is great for television, you know? And it's like, I think that if done right, that's where something like that character should live in a series, you know? But
that's fair.
Okay, Kason, so we talked about Disney Plus a little bit because I think we both agree Disney Plus is a huge factor in why the MCU brand is diluted and tainted. Too many mediocre projects and oversaturation.
Yeah,
what do do next? What's your next?
It's sad when Loki was just such a banger that just ended, but all the shows preceding that were terrible, so I don't think it's getting much love.
We are going to talk about Loki in a little bit when I bring up one of my next points.
Okay, good. So as far as the movies go, I think the next thing I'll talk about is timing of the movies. I would immediately cut it back to 2 movies a year. I think that is the sweet spot. You can have one in the summer, one in the winter. You can have a spring, fall, whatever. 1 or 2 movies maximum each year. And they are going to be high quality movies with a lot of attention. All of them given equal weight in the MCU. We're not going to have any more like, here's kind of a low budget throwaway Ant-Man movie. We're going to say every movie is going to be like, you know, an event movie that you have to come see. Kind of thing. That's what I would do. What do you think about that?
I mean, I obviously agree with you. I think 2 movies a year is solid. That's a good game plan, and I totally agree. 1 in the summer, you have that May movie that, that Marvel's so good at kicking off the summer with. We saw the success of Guardians 3, their biggest success of the year. That kicked off in May. And then you have something in, like, November. And I know Marvel's just deflated, but something better. I think that's a really good release schedule. Now, let's just get right into the movies because that's obviously the bread and butter. We didn't even mention our social media game at the top of the show, but bread and butter, Facebook, you know what it is.
Yes.
But yeah, let's talk about the movies, Kason. And this might be the dumbest comment I make all night, and that's saying something. But hey, how about you just make good movies, right?
That's probably the smartest comment all night.
We can talk in circles, dude, and we will, about all these different points, and they're all valid. They all have their own validity, but it always comes back to quality.
Yeah.
Are these movies good? Do people like them? Again, look at Guardians, a great movie. Fantastic movie, and it was rewarded with people showing up to see it.
Yeah.
Positive word of mouth. People wanted to go watch it, dude. That's how it works, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable the mediocre projects we've been getting lately. Quantumania, unacceptable, dude. The Marvels, unacceptable. Love and Thunder, I know you like that movie more than some other people, but again, just not up to snuff, dude.
Sure. Sure.
And that goes into, I mean, so quality is huge, but I think the other thing, and this is, I guess, a you know, branch off of quality, the visuals in these movies, dude, unacceptable. I mean, the rush job that these VFX guys are under and the constant changes we're hearing about. It seems like the mantra from what I've read with Marvel movies are, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
Basically meaning they just shoot whatever the hell they want and then just assume the VFX guys later down the road can fix it at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally.
You know, we wanted Paul Rudd to be fighting a giant cyborg, but now he's going to be riding on the back of King Kong eating a banana. Can you make that happen? Yeah. And it's like, what?
Totally. Totally.
It's unacceptable.
It's weird, dude. I think they need to make their standard for solo character movies. They need to look at Shang-Chi and say, okay, every time we make a new movie about a solo character, we need to make it this level of quality or better. Like, this is the standard. And then I think they need to look at Spider-Man No Way Home and say, this is how we are going to address, like, team-up movies or the kind of nostalgia grab event movies, and say, like, if we're going to do one of these, like the Marvels, it needs to be more like No Way Home, where there's just a ton of thought and care and, like, emphasis put on making the story really clever and powerful. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what
and
I would
a lot
model
of that,
it off of.
Dude, a lot of that starts with just the pre-planning. I mean, again, going back to Rise of Skywalker, it's like, did anybody have any idea where this trilogy was going? And it feels like Marvel fell into that same trap where when you don't plan things out, when you are kind of flying by the seat of your pants, that's why the VFX looks like crap. That's why we get PlayStation 2 endings to a movie like The Marvels, because nobody has any idea, like, nobody has any concrete plan. The script is constantly changing. It's a mess. So I guess my thing is, we said two movies a year. That's great. If you can't get the type of visuals that the first three phases of the MCU created, giving us that kind of awe and wonder at times, put out one movie a year.
Right.
You know, you don't. And again, we're speaking as the head of Marvel now. We are not going to put out tainted, subpar products just to, you know, meet a quota.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I agree. That's right.
So I think that just the visuals is maybe nitpicky as that seems. I mean, are you seeing the same drop-off as I am?
Oh, totally. But I mean, it's hard for me to say, though, what the reason is. Like, for example, you know how much I hate Quantumania with a passion. But
yes,
it's like, of course that movie looked terrible because the entire thing was CGI. You know, like, that it is a problem of the quality of the visuals, but it's also just a problem with, like, the concept of the movie. It's like, don't do that. Don't make a movie where the entire thing relies on a, like, CGI funky background, you know, for 2 hours. I just,
yeah, or Love and Thunder. Same thing.
Yeah, or Love and Thunder. Exactly. It's like, use some real locations, you know, mix in the CGI, like, tastefully. I mean, I thought Wakanda Forever looked pretty good.
Definitely.
And that's a movie that had some crazy action sequences with CGI, but also, you know, it, like, I would say that movie looked better than the first Black Panther from a visual perspective. And I don't know what they did differently, but it's like,
and I'm glad you brought up the first Black Panther and even movies. I mean, you think about the ending of that movie, horrible. And then you think about, like, scenes from Infinity War with Mark Ruffalo in the Hulkbuster suit. And it's like, this is not just a current problem. I think that it's been a problem for a while. But now, because the movies themselves feel so much lesser than, it's standing out more. Like, you know, why am I seeing this Godzilla Minus One movie that was made for $15 million, right? And the visuals look 50 times better than the Marvels.
Totally, dude. Yeah. I mean, look at like Doctor Strange 1, right? That movie is visually insane. And it's like, I don't even think the second one looked as good as that did. You know, like, I don't know. They really just have to slow down and give them time, I think. I think it's more about time than money.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think so too. Let's move on to the next point with the movies as far as me as a creative and what I think is essential. And this is a big one. This is a big one, dude. As audience members who go to these movies and have been for the last, 14, 15 years, we are now under the impression, we have expectations now with how these stories are going to be connected and how they are going to be built up.
Right.
In the beginning, you could get away with a lot more standalone content because we were just excited to see a new superhero.
Yep.
Right? But as the Infinity Saga leading to Thanos kept building and building, we started having expectations. And so the reason I bring that up, the connectivity now is terrible. It is horrible. It is hurting the franchise because, like we alluded to earlier, you're setting so many things up that either have no payoff or it takes 4 years to get any kind of follow-up, which is unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree.
Dude, think about, I can't even remember what movie this was. Was it Winter Soldier or maybe Thor the Dark World? One of those movies ended showing Quicksilver
and Scarlet Witch
in the cage, right? Like using their powers.
Yep.
And then it's like, dude, the next year you have Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, there's those characters from a year ago that we got hyped about. Dude, now we have so much bullshit. I mean, I could go on forever, dude. We have Harry Styles showing up. What is that going to lead to?
Yeah.
We have what was the friggin' end of Love and Thunder with
our boy from Ted Lasso, Hercules.
Thank you. Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. I was like trying to remember who exactly that was.
Yeah.
Is Hercules. And it's just like so much of this stuff feels so meaningless because it doesn't lead to anything. We need, as the head of Marvel, Kaysen, we got to get back to that connective tissue.
Dude, you have the end of Shang-Chi with them talking to Mark Ruffalo and Captain Marvel about the space signal or whatever.
Pathetic.
And then we just saw the Captain Marvel movie. Where was that? Where was Shang-Chi? What is happening?
Pathetic,
it makes no
dude.
Sense.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah, it's terrible.
We've seen Mark Ruffalo and Brie Larson since then, and we have not seen Simu Liu again and have not seen the rings again. And it's like, you set this up as such a big, cool thing. Everybody loved the Ten Rings, you know, like awesome character, awesome concept. Where is it? Like, such an easy opportunity to tie that in to something, anything, you know, like just bring them back. Well, I don't know.
100% agree. I mean, you know, not to repeat myself, but Kaysen, think about the end of Iron Man 2. The end of Iron Man 2, we get Agent Coulson showing up to the desert, right? And we don't know what's going on. There's like all this caution tape and all these guys like working in mysterious ways. And what do we zoom in on? Thor's hammer.
Yep.
Right? What's the next movie they put out?
There it is.
Ding, ding, ding. Hey, I'm hyped as hell to see Thor, and in 7 months, I'm going to go watch it.
Yep.
You know, we have to get back to that, you know, and that's a even separate problem from the convoluted storyline with the multiverse that they are trying to tell.
Yeah,
I think the story is great. I loved Loki and I loved Loki season 2 and where they left things. And I love the idea of Kang. I think it's really cool, but they are doing such a bad job of translating this to the masses.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so convoluted. It's so like rules changing on a, you know, on a dime. It's just so badly done. And you put something like Spider-Man No Way Home, which kind of touches on the multiverse, but in no way how Loki is.
Right, exactly.
And it just adds to the chaos of like, what is even happening, you know? And if me and you are saying that, what do you think the millions of people that love Tony Stark are thinking?
Right. Exactly.
That just want to watch Robert Downey Jr. quipping.
Yeah. No, completely.
So even like, you know, Loki season 2, as much as the ending was epic as hell, as much as I kind of loved how they set things up, that's another Disney Plus series. I don't expect a lot of people to watch that or to remember that going forward whenever the next time we see the ramifications of that, you know? It's just,
well, yeah, I mean, on that
weak.
Note, it's interesting how we were so surprised and I would say excited that they had the balls to introduce their big villain in Loki season 1. I mean, but, you know, in retrospect, maybe that was not a good idea because a lot of people probably didn't watch that. And then they're like, wait a second, like, you know, who is this? Like, what is happening? And then when you have his movie debut in, you know, want Quantum Mania, it's like, what are you thinking? I don't know. Very
listen,
questionable.
I know I think there is some revision. I know you hated Quantum Mania, so I'm not trying to say that you liked it and now you're hating it. I still think Jonathan Majors in Quantum Mania was great and did a good job of playing that character. I just think, again, the writing betrayed him where he looked like a chump. And like you said, it's like, why are you introducing your main big bad villain that is going to have an Avengers movie named after him soon? Get his ass whooped by ants and Michael Douglas.
Yeah, when you put it like that.
Some of these decisions, dude, and that's why we gotta get in the executive office. But I guess what else you got? You got anything else for me? I feel like I'm talking a lot.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to think about like what I would even have the story focus on. I think I agree with you that they need to streamline it into one narrative. Like, I think maybe their problem is that they are trying to set up multiple parallel storylines that people are kind of following all of them at the same time. But then the problem is the gaps in those narrative beats are longer, like we talked about. So it's like they want to have, you know, kind of the Falcon Winter Soldier storyline with like the government espionage happening at the same time as like the Loki Spider-Man multiverse storyline with Kang and Ant-Man happening at the same time as like whatever's going on with She-Hulk, you know, where it's like, okay, I don't know. God. You know, and then they have like the Shang-Chi is going to space to find his rings. It's like, how many different stories can you possibly have going on at the same time? And I think that that was their problem, is that they thought that people would buy into all of them when instead they're just getting lost. So I, in the two movie a year plan, I would have every movie, like you were saying, kind of build off of the prior movie's ending. So ultimately, that probably means that they need to narrow down their cast of characters. I would say they should They should pick four or five characters, kind of like the OG Avengers, that they're just like, listen, here are who we believe in, that we believe people are going to like, that we think are going to work well together when we eventually team them up. And then just build them up. Just build them up one by one in movies with a common looming threat, just like the original Avengers, and then get them together. And I really think that's the winning formula, and they've been trying to pull in way too many side characters that people don't care about.
Kaysen, like, these things write themselves, dude. If I came to you, which I will because I'm in charge of Marvel now, and said, hey, we're going to make a Thor 5, and it's called Thor and Loki. You're going to say, $200 million, here it is. Take it.
Yeah, exactly.
People love Thor. People love Loki. People love seeing them together. And while, yeah, we have gotten some bromance in their movies before, specifically Dark World and, you know, a little bit in Ragnarok, which was great. I mean, dude, a movie with those two together, I'm not saying it's going to have the appeal of Deadpool and Wolverine, which is more buzzy, I guess you'd say. But like, that is the type of thing. Make a great story around these two brothers.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, when you make that movie, have it be just those two, you know? Like, don't put, I don't even know what, don't
Riri put, like, Williams in it.
Yeah, exactly, dude, exactly. It's like, just make it about Thor and Loki. You don't have to take whatever random Olivia Colman Secret Invasion character, you know, like, pick any Disney Plus show character and be like, oh, here's the third lead, you know? It's like, totally. No, just give the people what they want. I agree, it's so easy.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, like, we could just sit down in a room for, what, 5 days and, like, map out a compelling, layered storyline that could exist through all of these movies. And that's what the Infinity Saga did so well. How do we merge the space cosmic vibes with the down-to-earth Captain America vibes? They nailed it.
Yep.
And you can do that here, dude. When we get the next Captain America movie, which we'll talk about soon, when we get something like Thunderbolts, all of this can tie in to the bigger picture with Kang and the Eternals level, you know, Loki level cosmic side.
Yeah.
They're just failing to do that.
Completely, dude. Completely. I mean, they really, listen, I like this movie, but they dropped the ball so hard with Multiverse of Madness. They should have made a Doctor Strange Scarlet Witch team up movie. For sure. And then obviously not killed her off. No question. But I mean, that was, you know, that was a huge missed opportunity too. Also, now that we're on that topic, where in the hell is Vision? I like completely forgot about that dropped plot point.
Well, dude, we're going to talk about his possible show in the next segment when we talk about the maybe announced projects.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, Multiverse of Madness, I love that movie just for its campiness and the Sam Raimi vibes, and some of the visuals were really gnarly. But it's another example of why setting up a character on a show does not work. Nobody, like, number one, most people didn't even think Scarlet Witch felt like the same character.
I
kind of disagree with that, but I understand where they're coming from. And number two, yeah, like you said, it was just too jarring to see this character out of nowhere that some people last saw as a hero in whatever, you know,
WandaVision.
Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Avengers.
I see what you're saying.
You know, people who didn't watch WandaVision, right? Just seeing her as a psychopath. It would have been badass to team up her and Strange, and then at the end of that movie, something happens that turns her nuts.
Yes, agreed. If they really wanted to make her a villain. But
it sucks, dude. And
they,
you
should
know,
have
that
not put America Chavez in that movie. Another plot point that's like, when is that character coming back? Is she a young Avenger? You know,
terrible, man. It's like, you, like, I think you nailed it. You got to pick you got to pick four or five leads and build around them the exact same way you did in phase one. You got to find, I mean, like we've said a million times in this podcast, Tom Holland is your golden goose.
Yep.
It sucks that Sony is tainting him with their bullshit. Don't even get me into the Madam Web trailer, Kason. Yeah. Oh my God.
You saw it in the rainforest?
Yeah, with studying spiders before she died. It's another level of garbage, but they got to do whatever they can to lock down Tom Holland.
Agreed.
You got to lock down Benny Cumberbatch. You got to lock down Elizabeth Olsen. I don't care what she wants. I mean, talk about fumbling the bag, dude.
Yep.
That you know,
you
that
do not
is one of the most
disrespect Elizabeth Olsen. They blew it with
it. It's just unbelievable that she had so much buzz, you know.
I mean, when you have your actors just talking on camera in, like, interviews about how lame their experience was, you know what I mean? Like, come on, dude. You got freaking Elizabeth Olsen. I mean, I don't even know.
And I think you gotta elevate Shang-Chi. People
yes.
love that character, love that world, and he can be the new character that comes in. But instead, we're focused on so much just bullshit. Like, you know, I mean, I know in retrospect it's easy to trash these things, but like, nobody cares about Moon Knight. Nobody cares about Ms. Marvel. Nobody cares about seeing Hawkeye anymore. I can go on and on. She-Hulk, exactly. Like, these are characters. Nobody cares about Falcon and Winter Soldier. You know, it's just like, move on from these characters.
People care about Bucky, but it's like that show did no favors.
People care about Bucky, but again, it's like, he just shouldn't be. Given his own movie.
If they were going to give him a show, they needed to really glow him up like Wanda, I would say, in WandaVision. Like, and I think that was kind of their opportunity to do that. And they just didn't really nail it. But I feel like he had the potential to be like an awesome front stage character. You know, they just blew it.
They also blew it, in my opinion, by, like, again, just the connectivity between these movies. Why was Bucky not in Wakanda forever?
Yeah.
That would have made sense. He was intimately tied to Wakanda, to Chadwick Boseman, to Shuri, all these characters. And it's just like, that would have been a non-America Chavez. Like, that would have been like, oh, I love that Bucky's here.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Instead of Riri and Martin Freeman returning.
Sorry, I was coughing at the disrespect to Sebastian Stan.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, I know we kind of went down a little bit of a tangent, and maybe we're all over the place, but there's so many things we got to do to save Marvel, Kason. I don't know.
So
I guess the last thing I want to end this segment on, unless you have something else to say, is just how are we lining up our projects as far as, like, what do we do with the Avengers? What do we do with X-Men? Like, what's our game plan going forward with these big tentpole, you know, movies?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? I'm going to turn it over to you if you have any ideas. Like, are we still putting out Kang Dynasty? Are we moving them up? Are we delaying them? Are we quickly putting X-Men, people like that, quick, or are we delaying that? What are we doing?
Like, assuming that we're in the spot they're in right now, where all these movies have already been released, but we can do whatever we want with the upcoming ones? Is that the scenario?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yes, correct.
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, I would probably, I personally like the idea of building to another Avengers, just with different characters. Not X-Men. Maybe they can have literally like one X-Men character be in the new Avengers squad. But I would do another Avengers team up before I start really like pouring in the X-Men characters. You know, I would kind of bring in one or two characters from X-Men first and have them like get into a team. And then I would start kind of digging more into like, oh, next saga is going to be mutants. You know, like all the mutants are coming out of the woodwork kind of thing.
I think one decision that's really interesting is just how they are continuously going back to the well with the Fox characters.
Yeah.
You know, we got Evan Peters in WandaVision. We got Hugh Jackman coming back in Deadpool. We have Patrick Stewart from Multiverse of Madness. Like, they're still leaning into that hard. So that makes me think that those characters will be in Secret Wars. And then after that, they are done forever.
Yeah, that's now, probably true.
Because I'm running Marvel, Kaysen, I guess I would go along with that plan. I don't think that's a bad idea. I guess my fear, and maybe I'll pitch it to you because you're my co-president, is do we run the risk of, by showing audiences again Hugh Jackman, again Patrick Stewart, again Halle Berry maybe popping up in Deadpool 3, or yeah, Deadpool 3, like, do we run the risk of diluting our own X-Men franchise when we go to launch it in 5 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no question, I think. I think then it's going to be like people will have gotten their great X-Men finale, and then I don't think they'll have a taste for the new X-Men at that point in time.
Yeah, it almost seems like the risk is for a cheap, I don't want to, you know, be too harsh on it, but for like a cheap pop of having Patrick Stewart come out and have a cool scene in Multiverse of Madness, is it worth showing audiences his face again so they associate that character with him again?
Yeah, exactly.
Versus like, hey, we want to have, you know, whoever, Jacob Elordi play Patrick's, or play Professor X.
Jacob
Tremblay. You know, but everyone's like, wait a minute, I just saw Patrick Stewart play Professor X
exactly.
2 years ago.
They need to get Timothy Chalamet to play Professor X.
Magneto. I don't know, dude.
But
I guess
you're saying you would still build the Secret Wars, but I thought we agreed that we were going to just tighten up the team and focus on a few characters.
We are, but I think we are coming at it from the place that what has come has already come. Like, what has already been built up is there, so I'm trying to do what I can to at least make that salvageable.
So are you keeping Kang?
I'm keeping Kang. If that is funny because they delayed those movies. If anything, I'm bumping those movies up. Like, to me, what I would do is we'll talk about Deadpool in our next segment. I'm having Deadpool 3 because that's a movie that is going to hit a billion. That's going to be giant next year. I'm having Deadpool 3 hardcore set up Kang and set up everything leading to Secret Wars. And then the following year, I'm going right into it. That's it.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're wrapping it up. We're not going to get a fucking Blade movie, a Fantastic Four movie, a Captain America 4, all this bullshit. We're not getting a Thunderbolts movie. We're not getting any of that. We're having Deadpool. Everybody loves Deadpool. And then we're setting up our Avengers. We're wiping the slate clean. That's how I would approach it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Now they got to get Namor back in there too somehow.
We're going to talk about that in our next segment when we actually go into the movies announced and kind of what we think they could do. But why don't we dive into that now? We've talked a lot about how we would save Marvel. I think we had some good ideas. I know it's a little all over the place, but unless we have a dry erase board in an executive office with Santa Monica in our view, what are we going to do, Kaysen?
I mean, I think we came up with pretty good ideas off the cuff in about 40 minutes. So I'm sure if we had 2 weeks and, you know, $100,000, we could probably do a little better.
And that's what we've said a million times. I know I'm really downplaying what goes into making these movies, but like, I'm not bullshitting. If we are in the writer's room or a producer or whatever, and somebody is like, hey, so in the script, Kang gets killed by ants and Paul Rudd. Like, I would be like, no, I don't think we should do that because he is our main antagonist in what we're setting up. And that would be a mistake. And yeah, people will view him as a weakling. So yeah, we're definitely not doing that.
I guess nobody said that, dude. They were too focused on workshopping the holes joke.
they were too focused on trying to lock down Megan Thee Stallion to twerk in the post-credit scene of She-Hulk.
Yeah, they have bigger things to worry about than Kang. Come on, dude.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, okay, Kaysen, let's move into our final segment. Let's live in reality. Let's live in the here and now. Let's take off our Feige hats and talk about the upcoming projects that the MCU has announced, whether officially or almost to the point of being official. And some of them we don't have to spend a lot of time on at all. Other ones we can dive into a little more thoroughly. But let's talk about what are our expectations and what we think these projects need to do to course correct the ship.
Okay, I like it.
Let's start off with something that drops actually at the end of this month, at the end of December. Let's talk about season 2 of What If, the animated show that I think me and you both like to a certain degree.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I don't have a lot to say about this. I think this is pretty throwaway, even though I do enjoy it. So I don't really think there's too much expectations riding on this. This is a fun animated show that gives you kind of a look at, like, you know, like the title suggests, what if this happened as opposed to this? So I'm looking forward to this. I see no reason why season two shouldn't be better than season one. And it's pretty disposable. So to me, I don't really put a lot of weight into this.
Yeah, dude, I love it. I'm excited. I thought the trailer looked great, and I think this show has no ability to ruin anything else. So to me, it's kind of like, yeah, why not? You know, put it out there. Hopefully it's good, but I don't think there's a lot of weight on it. So whatever happens, it's all good with What If.
Yeah, it's all good. And then that, you know, the next thing we can talk about briefly is X-Men 97, which is another animated show that's coming early 2024. This is kind of a throwback to my childhood when the X-Men were huge in cartoon form in the 90s, bringing back those looks, those costumes. Again, I feel kind of the same way. I would say there's maybe a little more pressure on X-Men 97 just because it's based on something that a lot of people have nostalgia for. And I do think it could be an interesting indication of where they might want to take the X-Men in live action.
Yeah, now this is a totally new show, right? Like, it's not a remake.
Totally new show.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Interesting.
Any thoughts or?
No, I have no thoughts on this. I don't know anything about the original. I mean, I might watch it, but I don't think it's very important for the MCU.
Yeah, same. So the next live action project that we have is actually coming soon, January 10th, which is, I mean, geez, about a month away of obviously 2024. That is Echo, a show that is based on the character from Hawkeye, the deaf. I don't know why. I just got the deaf Native American ninja who has one leg. I can't say. I can't talk, dude. It's just so, when you say it out loud, dude, it's just so ridiculous.
I'm ready for it.
The deaf Native American with one leg who was raised by Kingpin in Hell's Kitchen. I gotta say, dude, I didn't really like her character in Hawkeye. I thought she was pretty bland and just kind of whatever. And I definitely did not really like Kingpin's portrayal in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
He was way too goofy. But man alive, my perception totally changed on Echo once we got that trailer.
Yeah, the trailer looked awesome.
Trailer was fantastic. I mean, talk about doing a great job of really spinning people's anticipation and maybe expectations. It looks dark. It looks gritty, violent. It looks like they're taking the pages right from Daredevil on Netflix. Very similar tone and feel. It's the first TVMA project, I think, from Marvel, which is exciting. So I'm expecting lots of bloodshed, lots of hopefully F-bombs dropped from, at least in sign language, from Echo, yeah, which will be cool.
Exactly.
Just flipping people off right and left. And Kingpin, dude, it's almost like they finally took the criticism and were like, hey, people thought he was goofy in Hawkeye. Let's start this trailer off just showing the Kingpin that we all know and fear and love.
Yeah, I think this hopefully will be good. The trailer really flipped my perspective on it, too. This is another one that I feel like doesn't really have a lot of weight on it. Like, hopefully it won't really tie into that much and it'll just be kind of like a pleasant surprise. The sad thing is, even though this looks good, this is definitely a show that I would axe if I were Feige. I would be like, listen, we got to just focus on getting people in line with what is important. So I think just the more random stuff you put out, even if it is pretty good, kind of just takes people out of it. So I would get rid of this for sure, but maybe it'll be good. We'll see.
I mean, I think I would get rid of it if I thought the quality was weak. You know, but if they think they have something special, I think the best case scenario for Echo, and kind of going back to our premise here of what I think it needs to do, I think Echo needs to set the tone for what the Daredevil
show
Marvel
like.
Exactly, like what the Punisher, Daredevil, any characters they bring in from that world. This is the tone setter.
Yeah.
Right. So even if the show's not a 10 out of 10, which I don't expect it to be, but they need to do a good job of letting us know, hey, like Daredevil and these other characters, Punisher, Kingpin, they're in good hands. Yeah. We're not going to make this cornball.
Yes, totally.
And this is the first thing they've labeled Marvel Spotlight, which I think is smart because I think that what they've said, it's kind of more like low-level stories. Like you said, don't connect it to the movies. Let this be its own thing as a TV series with Daredevil, Punisher. That's awesome. Do exactly what Netflix did.
Yeah, so I'm confused about that branding. Is that only going to apply to certain TV shows or some movies too? Like,
I think only TV shows, and my guess is, dude, I think the reason they're doing that goes back to what we just said. I wonder if the Marvel Spotlight is almost like
you don't need to watch this.
Exactly, yes. Like letting audiences know these only live on Disney Plus, and it requires nothing of you, like for future movies.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I think they should do that with every show.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you know. But okay, cool.
So that's Echo. That comes out January 10th. Kason, then we get the big one. The only Marvel movie, which is great, coming out next year. I think it's like perfect timing. It's just what Marvel needs, and the fact it's the only one is even better. That's Deadpool 3.
Yes, this movie is very important, I would say, to their overall plan, to the redemption of their brand, to just, honestly, the entire rest of this phase. I think there is a lot riding on this, and I think there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about it. I mean, Ryan Reynolds and Sean Levy know what they're doing, I think, and the other Deadpool movies have been very successful, so the biggest question mark to me is just how they are going to incorporate the Marvel branding into the R rating and kind of balance those things, but we'll see.
I think there will be so much meta humor with just the fact that it is R-rated and that like Marvel's not used to that. It's going to be so funny. I have so much confidence in this movie. And just like we talked about the Marvels coming at the worst possible time, I think Deadpool 3 is coming at the absolute best time for Kevin Feige and Marvel.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, it's similar to Guardians dropping after Quantumania,
sure,
where it's like, ooh, Feige had to be so happy that he's like, thank God for James Gunn in this franchise.
Yep.
But like, we get a proven winner that everybody loves. Deadpool's the same. And look, we obviously have to mention Hugh Jackman, you know,
yeah,
as
huge
Wolverine, just teaming up finally with Deadpool. It's a match made in heaven. This movie's going to make so much money. And I think my expectations are obviously high, but I think what this movie needs to do, this movie needs to bring in the multiverse storyline from Loki. Give this to the masses in a digestible way.
Okay.
Right? Make it make sense on the big screen. Like we said, I think this is making $1 billion. All these eyeballs on this movie, put the multiversal bullshit in a you know, storyline in a non-convoluted way that everybody can understand and get excited about leading in to the Avengers.
Sure, sure.
I think this movie, from the rumors we've heard, is the launch pad into Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars, and I think it needs to, obviously, maybe that's asking too much of it, but I think it needs to succeed as a Deadpool movie, and I think it needs to succeed as a, okay, now we know where this is going.
Man, I want to believe that. I just really have a hard time, though, because I'm worried this is going to end up way more like a No Way Home type of tie-in movie. I don't think they're going to put the crux of their plot in an R-rated movie. I just don't see that. I feel like they're shutting out a large portion of their potential audience. You know what I mean? That would like go see Avengers. I don't know, and not only an R-rated movie, but a movie that is like so profane, you know, as Deadpool typically is. It just seems like a questionable decision for them to do that, but I don't know. What do you think about that?
That is a good point that I didn't really consider. I mean, I still think so many people are going to watch this, but you're right. I mean, it is the MCU, like it is somewhat family friendly, and maybe it is risky.
Yeah, they want
even
like
with as many 12 eyeballs,
14-year-olds, you know, to be able to like enjoy this stuff. I think typically,
I just think at some point, if you don't put your foot on the gas and say, "Here is what the plot is, here is the threat," and everybody like, I don't know another movie that we're about to talk about that's going to have as many eyes on it. So I just don't see where else they're going to really drive that message home.
But yeah, I agree. That is a tough one, but we will see. It's an interesting year, 2024, really, when you think about Echo and then Deadpool 3, and then we're about to talk about Agatha. It's like really not much child-friendly content the whole year coming out. I mean, I don't know what Agatha is going to be like, but I assume it's going to be relatively dark, I would guess. I don't know.
Well, Kaysen, the name of the show is Agatha Darkhold Diaries.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, obviously we'll talk about that next.
Anything
Agatha
with Aubrey
from
Plaza is not not usually very family-friendly.
Not family-friendly. Kaysen, the next, yeah, like you said, the next show, it comes out fall of next year, fall of 2024. That is Agatha, the Darkhold Diaries. Agatha, obviously a super popular character from WandaVision. She was Agatha Harkness, the antagonist of the show, who fought the Scarlet Witch at the end and basically got put into some kind of mind prison by the Scarlet Witch and has been living in a what's that place called?
Whatever that town
Westview?
Was. Yeah.
Westview?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's kind of a spinoff slash sequel to WandaVision, which does get me excited. I think just the concept of witches and the way it was kind of portrayed in WandaVision with the flashbacks has me very skeptical. Like, I feel like this is going to be very Hocus Pocus vibes, but maybe a little darker. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I know Catherine Hahn is great. Aubrey Plaza is great. They're going to sell this stuff, but it's still just a matter of like, is this going to be too cornball for my liking?
I'm hoping that it's a little bit more like Sabrina the Teenage Witch vibes, you know, where it's kind of like there is a lot of like magical goofy stuff in it, but it's all done in almost like a sitcom way, kind of like WandaVision, you know, where it's like just them living their normal lives, but like they're witches, you know, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be over the top and goofy like Hocus Pocus. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, my expectations for the show are kind of mixed, like I guess middle of the road. I really don't have too high or too low.
I'm
but
glad
I do
it's
think
the
what
WandaVision
the
creator, you know, like that's reassuring.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the rumors are that her name is Jacques Schaefer. Is
yeah.
Right?
Jacques Schaefer. Yeah.
And they want her to ultimately, the rumor is, to make a Scarlet Witch movie, which would be
I
cool.
hope so. Do you think Wanda's showing up in this at all or no?
I think she will. Yeah. I think they'll give Elizabeth Olsen whatever she wants to come back for a cameo. But that kind of leads me, dude, to my like, what does Agatha, the TV show, need to do for the brand? I think in some way, and I know we just said we don't want this stuff to lead into the movies, and I still stand by that. They need to set up a plot point that will be elaborated on in future movies. They need to set something up in this show to resurrect Scarlet Witch.
Ah, I agree completely.
Like, yes, just to give audiences the idea who do watch this show, hey, she's coming back. You know, whether we see a character, like, I mean, I don't think Strange is going to show up in this show, but like even something like Charlize Theron from the end of Multiverse of Madness,
yeah.
Like some character show up that has a conversation about like, we need the Scarlet Witch,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And you know, that could be a cool tease to where when we actually get that movie where they resurrect her, it's elaborated on more, but in this show, it's like, ooh, she's coming.
I agree, dude. And I mean, even just thinking about that, I know it won't be in this show, but a Wanda resurrection scene could be insanely hype. Don't you? Like, just the idea of them, like, somehow putting together this entire thing to, like, bring her back and just imagining, like, Elizabeth Olsen, you know, coming back to life. Oh, my gosh. That would
Kaysen,
be hype.
Because I have mental problems, I just thought of this.
What
if the person resurrecting her was that dipshit, you know, Scotty Jones or whatever his name is from...
What? I have no idea. I thought you were going to say Ralph Boner.
No, dude. No. I'm blanking on his name, man. I messed it up.
Scotty
Jones. Stick with me. I'm going to get this out. What is the name of... Okay, I thought of the actor's name now. Kit Harington.
Okay. Oh, okay. From Eternals.
What is his name in Eternals? It's Billy Bladesmith or something. Okay, whatever the hell his name is. That dumbass character, okay? What if
Blades.
He is the
That's definitely not his name.
What if he is the one who resurrects Scarlet Witch and it is a direct mirror of Jon Snow's resurrection
with
the redheaded witch from Game of Thrones.
That's just, and then she says, you know nothing, Billy Bladesmith.
That was probably way too long of a rant for what where it ultimately
the
went.
The punchline was not worth it.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, no, seriously though, my question about the show is how much will it tie into the MCU? Like, is this going to be a spotlight show, or is this going to be like, no, this is a real show?
Like we said, dude, I hope all this shit's spotlight show. Okay. All this shit's like, hey, you don't gotta watch.
Well, dude, this is confirmed where we're getting her children, right? Wiccan and whatever the other kid's name is.
That I don't care about those dumb kids. The other dude. The other thing is, speaking of that, it's so funny that just made me think how in Secret Invasion, it's like this gritty spy thriller where like Sam Jackson's character is like tormented and tortured,
yeah.
And then we see him, you know, at the end, spoiler alert, leave Earth and go back to space,
uh-huh.
And then he's just in the Marvels like cracking one-liners and joking around like, you know, like happened in Secret Invasion. So. Another reason why these shows should not lead into movies.
Well, yeah, it's mostly because the people making the movies have no idea what happened in the show, it seems like.
Clearly, the Rick and Morty writers can't watch these shows.
Those Rick and Morty writers.
Kason, next up, at some point in 2024, we have Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is an animated show I don't know anything about. I don't even need to talk about this, really. But, I mean, I do think any kind of animated Spider-Man is cool. So
is
we'll see
this
what
the real voice cast from the movies?
No. I think this is like a totally separate, like just its own thing completely.
Oh, forget it then. I don't care. No Zendaya.
Maybe Morbius will show up though.
Leto.
Kason, so that's 2024. Let's get into 2025. February 14th, dude, Valentine's Day. You got a special somebody, dude. You trying to do a little smoochy woochy, dude? What are you gonna do?
Take her to see Mackie.
You're going to take her to go see the Mac dog. That's Cat and Harrison
the
Ford,
Mac
dude.
The Mac and the Buck, dude. Bucky.
The Buck. I won't even make that joke. The Buck. You know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
The Buck and the... Okay. Captain America, Brave New World, dude.
Wow.
February 14th, 2025. Captain America, dude, it's cool that after what, 4 effing GD years, they finally bring back Anthony Mackie with the shield. Good timing, Marvel.
Yeah, 4 years after his TV show.
Amazing. Really good stuff. Really good. Way to keep the people invested. So
it's a brave new world, man.
Dude, I got to be honest, man. I'm scared about this movie. I think that I was optimistic and excited, but after seeing what happened with the Marvels and what is what they are capable of, like where the floor is for the MCU, I don't know, dude. Like, I really don't know. I think the name alone, Captain America, is going to bring a lot of people in.
This seems like the type of movie that could be equally as messy as the Marvels, as far as like what is even happening in this movie, like the plot.
Yeah. Which sucks, dude, because there's so much potential there. There's like so much potential for like Anthony Mackie like picking up the shield and really being Captain America and what he deals with in this. Because, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier, we kind of left him at his origin.
Right.
Or like left him when he just got the suit and stuff. So a lot of potential, but yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't feel good about this. I feel like this is the last of the movies that were like in production when everything was still a shit show.
Yeah, dude, they got to show you what happened to the power broker. Everybody wants to
know. Oh my gosh, dude. Dude, do you think we'll get Zemo in this show?
No. Do you?
No, I think he's probably more of a Thunderbolts.
Do you think we'll get Bucky?
I do, yeah. I think Bucky will show up in like one scene, like cameo.
That's cool. I'm down.
So I guess, I mean, my expectations now, like I just said, they were kind of high. Now I feel like they're kind of middle of the road, especially after hearing some of the rumors about Harrison Ford, who is the president, turning into Red Hulk.
Oh,
like, I just don't know.
After seeing
his
Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, my gosh.
They need to make this like Winter Soldier. Like,
we say that about every single project.
But this one they literally do because it's Captain America. I feel like the key to this movie is like subtlety and making it about espionage, not about like big CGI, you know?
Yeah, they're not gonna do that.
Yeah, forget that.
Dude, you're going to have Anthony Mackie shooting laser beams out of his ass at a red CGI Harrison Ford running around a freeway.
They should put like Shuri or one of, they could have some kind of Black Panther tie-in, I feel like, in this movie.
Well, yeah, that kind of leads me to my next question. Like, what does this movie need to do for the MCU?
it's not going to do anything. I feel like it's not going to set up anything with Kang. It's pretty much just going to be a continuation of the Power Broker, whatever, Martin Freeman, who knows what's going on story. Maybe Julia Louis-Dreyfus will be in it. I feel like she is kind of their Earth storyline, like, leading person. But I don't think it's going to do anything for the multiverse at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I think first and foremost, I mean, obvious statement, but this movie just needs to be good. You know, like you can't besmirch the Captain America name with a mediocre movie. I think this needs to deliver. And I agree with a lot of your points of like how to do that. I just am very skeptical. And if they're going to, as far as what they're going to set up or like connect to, I think you're right. This is going to connect to Julia Louis-Dreyfus and her character and kind of her shenanigans. And I do think that we will get some kind of direct connection to Thunderbolts, which comes out a few months later.
If they're smart, they should do that. Yeah.
just because these kind of exist in the same space. So, you know, and we'll talk about some rumored story plot points when we get to Thunderbolts here in a second. But yeah, I think it could connect to some of the players on the ground and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, totally.
Kaysen, right. Next up, May 2nd, we got a big one. This movie's been talked about so much, I'm almost sick of it. But I'm still excited, honestly. And that is Fantastic Four, a movie that's had more casting speculation and rumors than anything. We still don't know, and I'm not even going to speculate until something's done and in writing as far as who is playing these characters. But yeah. Fantastic Four drops on May 2nd, 2025. This is a property that a lot of people were excited for. What are your expectations? Like, what do you think about this movie? And let's keep in mind before you go in, the director is our boy from WandaVision, who we loved. Why am I blanking on his name?
Who?
The director of Wanda, like the main guy from WandaVision who directed all the episodes.
But not Jack Shaver?
No. I'm going to look it up. I'm sorry. I took us off course. Where are we at? Oh, Matt Shackman was the main director.
Matt Shackman, gotcha.
Yep. What do you think, though? What's up with Fantastic Four?
I think that it could be terrible, to be honest with you. Like, I really think that it has that potential. But I hope that it's not, mainly because I think the casting will be good. I just don't really know how you do these characters justice. They have such weird powers, and, like, I am not a comic reader, so I don't get really the like hype around this set of characters. I think all of the movies that have been made so far are mediocre at best. So I'm having trouble seeing like the potential. But I like everyone involved in the project, so hopefully they know what they're doing. But I just think like Galactus, Silver Surfer, like all that stuff is just goofy. Maybe Doctor Doom would be cool, but even Doctor Doom is like, you know, he's like zapping electricity around while Fantastic Man is like stretching.
It's Kaysen, just like, let's be real, dude. Are you jealous that you're Dr. Color and you wish you had a name like Dr. Doom?
I do wish I had a name like Dr. Doom, but
can you imagine when you have to go in and treat like Blanche's osteoporosis and she's like, now who are you, young man? And you're like, I'm Dr.
Doom. Dr. Doom.
Show me your knuckles.
Yeah, I do wish that.
Show me your joint pain, Blanche. No, here's the thing, dude. Fantastic Four, I think Shackman's going to deliver because he shows, and you know, this movie is pretty much confirmed to be a, you know, period film, like set, I think, in the 50s or 60s. And he showed how he can deliver with WandaVision and really nail that setting. So I think that suits his strengths. I think the way I envision Fantastic Four, I understand it is not the same dynamic with the family, but I imagine this to feel like The Incredibles. Like that is okay. The kind of like tone and like lighthearted. Like I think they're the key with all Marvel movies, but especially something like Fantastic Four, where the characters are so important. They need to really make us believe these relationships. Just like they did with Black Widow, where we love that family, you know, they need to do the same exact thing for Fantastic Four, where no matter how goofy, how kind of, you know, cosmic, whatever even happens in the movie, like we love these relationships. And like, so whatever happens, we are just bought in, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, do you think they're going to have more like a Guardians type relationship where they're like, you know, reluctant, kind of making fun of each other, but then grow to like each other? Or is it just more like they're just, you know, I don't know. I just have no idea what the vibe is going to be.
I think
so
the idea is that they are coworkers, right? Is that they're all like, they work together. Like, I don't know if they're going to copy that directly from the comics, and I might be speaking out of turn, but I think they were all like astronauts or something. I mean, you know, they all like did missions together. I don't think they were strangers necessarily. So
gotcha. Okay.
I think they have a working relationship that then gets taken to the extreme when they get their powers.
Gotcha.
But I think it could be a fun movie, dude. A lot of people are looking forward to it. I think what it needs to do, and I think what it will do, just from what we know about it, I think it's a big indication. I think this will definitely, definitely connect to the multiverse, to Kang, to different branches on the timeline, a la Loki, where there are no other superheroes. It's just the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing how they do that. You know, I think it would be really interesting to have a Kang type story, and maybe that's where they're planning on Jonathan Majors shining again before Kang Dynasty comes out, is in Fantastic Four, where like he somehow is a, you know, I don't even know how they tie this in, but he's a variant in the 60s on this other, you know, multiverse. Yeah. And the Fantastic Four are the only superheroes there that can really stop him. And he's used to dealing with these, you know, we'll say like bigger threats. And they're sure. Almost kind of this like Incredibles
Rag
type
tag.
Goofy, exactly, like lovable yeah. crew.
That'd be cool. So do you think Dr. Doom will be the villain of the movie, or just a post-credit scene, or not in the movie at all?
I don't know. Again, all of this is rumors, speculation. I did read recently that Doom was either not going to be in the movie at all, or if he was, like, just barely touched on. Like, he's not a focal
okay.
point. And again, that's just people who might be talking out of their ass, but...
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll see.
Okay, so next up, like 2 months later in 2025, July 25th, we have Thunderbolts.
Here you go, dude. Your most hyped movie.
I love the idea of this movie. This is essentially Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. We have all these fan-favorite characters. Our girl, Florence Pugh. Do we talk about her on this podcast?
I've heard of her before, yeah.
She is coming back as Yelena, Scarlett Johansson's sister, who we all love from Black Widow. We got the Buck Dog coming back with his cyborg arm, dude. He skipped out on Wakanda Forever to be in Thunderbolts, so Bucky's right. gonna be there. We got Red Guardian, big David yep. Harbour coming in, dude. Sheriff Hopper. He's coming to play. And who else is like the other main? There's like
Agent.
Another one. Oh, yeah, dude.
U.S. Agent, dude.
U.S. Agent from Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Great character.
And obviously, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is, I think, like the main antagonist in this movie. So
yes. Now, is she an antagonist, or is she like a Viola Davis type? Like, is she the one putting them together?
It seems like the rumor is she is the antagonist.
Okay, interesting.
So here's the interesting thing. I can't wait for this movie because I love all of those characters I just said. So
yes.
if they deliver, dude, and like make this movie charming and funny and exciting, like all those things, the characters are there. I mean, man, like Pugh is so good. Bucky is so good. Red Guardian, dude, are you kidding me? U.S. Agent, I feel like I grew to love him as Falcon and Winter Soldier went on.
Yeah.
There's so much potential, especially if you throw Zemo into the mix, forget about it.
Now, my fear is, does anybody care enough about any of these characters to actually go see the movie?
Yeah, that is the problem, dude, is there's not really like that big lead character where you're like, oh, this is going to sell tickets.
Yeah, like I legitimately feel like most people probably don't remember any of these characters, except Bucky, maybe.
The thing, it just depends how you market it, and you know, I think they'll do a good job of just like focusing on their banter, their back and forths, and it's way more recognizable. I mean, yeah, granted, you had Harley Quinn and James Gunn's Suicide Squad, but like, right. you know, these characters, people know them more than like those characters.
Maybe. Possibly.
I mean, like, dude, like nobody knew Peacemaker, like nobody knew Rick Flag. I'm just saying,
that's
like,
true. Yeah, that's true.
You know, this at least has that going for it. But, dude, I think one interesting thing about Thunderbolts is just what I expect of it as far as the MCU goes. Now, here is I might be butchering this, but this is kind of paraphrasing the rumored plot, which I think sounds insane.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the rumored plot finally deals with a Celestial from Eternals that is, like, sticking
yes.
out of the ocean.
Yep.
And apparently there is some kind of mineral or element, we'll say, that they are trying to mine from this celestial, right?
Uh-huh.
And it somehow involves Namor and his people who are trying to find something equal to or greater than vibranium in Wakanda.
Interesting.
So
okay.
It's some kind of thing where, like, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character sends them to get this, like, element. And they, I don't know, again, all of this is just speculation from people who claim to be insiders and know about the script and the leaks. But it's some kind of Namor versus the Thunderbolts type thing.
That sounds cool. I mean, I like Namor. I don't know if I like the idea of those characters fighting the fish people from Wakanda forever, but we'll see. Maybe.
And also, this is the reason I didn't talk about it is because I wanted to talk about this with Thunderbolts first. This is apparently set up in Captain America, like what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
With the Celestial, with like what... I think that's cool, dude, because again, bring Namor back. Namor was a great character from Wakanda Forever. I loved him, and I think that like I want to see him again. And it just, again, it sucks, dude. We got to wait 3 years. It'll be 3 years. But, you know, if they can tie in his story and kind of give him more to chew on, I love it. It's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of like back-to-back continuity with those movies. So you don't think Kang is going to have anything to do with those two movies, probably, right?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Kaysen, next up, November 7th. So 2025 is stacked, dude. We got a lot of movies in 2025.
Is this real, this next one?
Yeah, I mean, that's the new release date. November 7th, 2025, finally the Blade movie is supposed to be dropping with Mahershala Ali. I just saw this quote from him.
I will believe it when I see it.
Like right before we started recording, I saw this quote from Mahershala where he said he's really excited about the direction that the movie is now taking and he's very confident in it. So
really,
I don't know if that's just like BS, but I feel like he hasn't really said anything about the movie. So the fact that he did kind of gives me hope.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they fix it. I don't know. Is it still the same director they were going to have?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, well, we'll see, dude. That just needs to be a tight, like, 90-minute vampire, you know, action-type movie.
What are your expectations for this movie? I mean, I know you kind of just said, like, what you think it needs to be, but, like, quality-wise, where are you at?
Well, I have no idea how good it's going to be. I think the ceiling is pretty high, given that it's Mahershala. It's going to be rated R, I assume.
Yeah, I think Deadpool will kind of set that precedent, along with a lot of the Disney Plus shows that'll be TVMA. So I don't see them shooting themselves in the foot.
If it's rated R, I have high hopes for it. I hope that they take like a visual, kind of fast-paced, kinetic type action vibe, as opposed to slow-mo, stylistic action scenes. Kind of more like The Matrix, but we'll see. I don't know.
Dude, it's such a missed opportunity they did not get Lee Whannell to direct this movie.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
You know, from Invisible Man, from Upgrade.
So this is actually the movie that Kit Harington will probably be in, right?
Well, dude, that was the thinking, but then I was hearing all these rumors that he wasn't in it, and that was making people even more confused. Like, what?
Interesting. Okay. And Moon Knight is probably just written out of the MCU at this
point. Oh, my God.
I think he was supposed to be here, too, maybe.
Moon Knight is hopping on that hippo,
hopping
dude.
Hopping on that hippo. He's bucking and macking.
he's bucking the Mac, dog. Anyway. Yikes. But Blade, I mean, my expectations for Blade are actually pretty high because I love Mahershala. I think it's like prime for badass content. Like, I just think the story is cool. And, you know, I think they can do a lot of good with this if it comes together. It's been in production hell for so long that who knows. But
is this going to be related to anything, you think? Like, where are these vampires coming from?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was my next thing, dude. That was my next thing is like, what does this do for the MCU as a whole? What does it need to do? I don't know. It's
weird. This is the last movie before Avengers. Like,
I know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I think that I guess because I don't know, my main concern and what it needs to do is just be a great movie. Like, yeah. And this is one that fans like Fantastic Four. This is one that fans are really looking forward to, and they can't drop the ball. Like, you can't disappoint people with an IP like this.
Yeah, agreed.
Kaysen, next up, May 1st. It's finally here, 2026. Good Lord, that's far away, it feels like. Avengers, the Kang Dynasty. Jonathan Majors is going to get out of solitary confinement to film to film his cameo for this movie that he's the title character in. What do you think? Number one, should Kang Dynasty even still happen? And number two, what are your expectations quality-wise?
I kind of don't think it should happen anymore. I feel like I would just get rid of it at this point. But I don't know. I do like Majors. I just really don't think they've done a good job of setting him up as a villain. Like, I think they have a lot of work to do in these upcoming movies if they want him to be like a Thanos-level vibe. But I mean, I have faith in our boy from Shang-Chi, whatever his name is, Destin Daniel Cretton. So,
well, dude, he's not directing anymore, dude. Don't you remember?
Oh, shoot. You're right. I forgot. Well, in that case, I have no confidence. I don't know.
Wait, did they, am I tripping or did they say who's directing Kang Dynasty? Wasn't it somebody else?
No, I don't think they announced it. Did they?
I thought, maybe I'm crazy, dude. I thought they announced that. I would have looked that up. Or no. They said who was writing it, right? Which was Michael Waldron, the idiot from, yeah. Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Michael Waldron, the dude who wrote Multiverse of Madness without watching WandaVision or reading the scripts.
Right. Is writing Kang Dynasty probably without watching Loki.
My God, dude. Dude, I'm going to say it. Bring back Joss Whedon.
No, dude. Bring back the Russos. Come on, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, dude. I think so Kang Dynasty, it's impossible to say because we have up to this point, I am not confident in it because they, like you said, they have not done a good job of setting up Kang or making audiences care or comprehend what is going on. Now, Loki season two did a really good job of trying to clean up some of the mess. I don't think they cleaned it up as far as being convoluted. It's still very confusing, but I think they did a good job just like making him a more fleshed out character, him and his variants. And they did a really good job of ending things without spoiling the show in a way where they could kind of put a bow on the Kang story.
Yeah, I think so too. Bring back Goo Goo.
Should Majors be locked down with Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption? I think that they can move forward without him. But obviously, you might need to change the title from Kang Dynasty. Dude, how about to the Wang Dynasty and we get in a friggin'... He's dead.
Oh.
I was thinking of friggin' Shang-Chi's dad, dude.
Oh, Tony Liu.
Yeah, he's dead though, man, so never mind.
Yeah, he's dead, although he was iconic, so that was kind of a mistake. They could resurrect him with Wanda.
I mean, I guess
it's
the
like
thing is...
they accidentally resurrect him also.
We resurrected the wrong dude. anyway, Kang Dynasty, it's kind of dumb to talk about like what it needs to do for the MCU because it's an Avengers movie. So it's like, it needs
that
to do
what
if,
everything needs to do things for that.
I mean, the concern is, though, being the first Avengers movie since Endgame, it's like what, like we mentioned in the prior segment, what characters are we even focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, is Spider-Man going to be in this movie? Like, hopefully.
Hey, Spider-Man, do a flip. I hope
you,
so,
you
dude.
Told me Tobey Maguire is going to be the main character.
No. That was in friggin' Secret Wars, dude. Come on.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's the word on the street. Come on, dude.
I can't even. So, if that happens, I don't know what I'm going to do.
So it's interesting. Kang Dynasty will lead directly into Secret Wars. I mean, the thinking is that, and they're going to set this up in Deadpool 3. There's all these different multiverses where heroes like Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, Ben Affleck's Daredevil, maybe, they all
Christian
exist
Bale.
In these different. Exactly. Well, no, no. That's DC.
Dude, they might.
Gore the God Butcher comes back. No, they all exist in these different like worlds, and then Secret Wars involves them all getting recruited to basically go fight on. Is it called Battle World? Is that the name
of
this
Battle
planet?
World,
I think,
dude, that's gonna be very not cheesy.
I'm sure that'll translate well to the big screen. Actually, I mean, it could actually, honestly, if they do it right. But
it could. They could have some good matchups.
I think your concern with Secret Wars is that it's just gonna be a gigantic cameo fest, which I think it will be. But
what I'm saying. They need some characters to like center it, to like focus on. Like how Endgame kind of brought things back to the core and just focused on like Iron Man, Captain America, you know. But this, I don't even know who those characters are, like we've talked about before.
Yeah, exactly. And we have no way of knowing because they've done such a piss poor job of showing any kind of like clarity when it comes to the leads of the MCU now. Like, it could be anybody.
Like, is Chris Pratt going to be in this movie? Like, I don't even know what is happening. you know what I mean? Like, where are the Guardians?
Hey, that reminded me, dude. That you remember how it said Star-Lord will return?
Yeah.
That was hype as hell, dude. I would give anything to see a Star-Lord movie right now.
Oh, me too. Me too.
He's dude, now we're going off, but imagine, should I finish up this list or should we talk about Star-Lord right now?
Go ahead and talk about Star-Lord. We're toward the end of the...
we're going to run through all these really quick next. But, Kaysen, a Star-Lord movie, who would you want to direct that? Like, who would be a perfect fit for Star-Lord?
I mean, do you already have one in mind or are you just asking?
No, I'm just spitballing ideas here.
I don't know. I'm trying to think about someone who's done something similar with just like one lead character.
I feel like back when they announced this, like at the end of Guardians, I had a great idea and I can't remember it. It's like escaping my brain, but I came up with a director that I was like, oh, he would be perfect.
Maybe you know like, who I think? The Mission Impossible guy? I don't know.
Oh, dude. Well, no, that's not who. I mean, one choice, I don't know if they would really... No, they wouldn't really match a Star-Lord movie. I don't know. I'd have to give it some thought, dude. But
dude, should have gotten Brad Bird to direct Thunderbolts.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be cool. I mean, Brad Bird's been MIA for a while. I don't know what that guy's doing.
He's making Incredibles 3.
Star-Lord is exciting though, but that's not one we're going to talk about. Kaysen, let's rattle off these real quick. We don't have to spend a lot of time because all of these do not have dates and some of these haven't even been officially confirmed. Let's start off with Vision Quest, the movie about Paul Bettany's character Vision after he flew off at the end of WandaVision. This is a television series, date to be determined. All I want to know is, do you care?
Nope.
Kaysen, let's move on to Marvel Zombies.
Paul Bettany's going to be like 70 years old by the time that comes out.
Yes, he is. He requests further elaboration. Kaysen, Marvel Zombies, this is an animated series that's a spinoff of What If, focused exclusively, almost like Call of Duty Zombies, dude, but...
Nazi Zombies?
So, care or don't care?
Don't care.
Don't care. Definitely don't care. A Wakanda series that's long been rumored that Ryan Coogler was executive producing, of course. Here's the thing with that. That makes sense.
Yeah,
but the problem is all of the Marvel series have been pretty mid. So it's like I don't have confidence it will be good. But it does make sense on paper.
I like the idea of it for sure. Like that series has enough characters to really warrant a TV show, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. I do care about that. I will put that in the care category.
Agreed.
Case in another series that I think is announced, and I think our boy Destin from Shang-Chi fame has a big hand in this, Wonder Man, which is kind of a spoofy, almost like Johnny Cage, from what I understand, from Mortal Kombat. It's like about an actor who is kind of this cheeseball who then becomes a superhero. And I think that is our boy Yahya Mateen, right? Is the main character in this.
Yep.
So Wonder Man seems really cool, but it's just like, what is the vibe of this show? Like, is it going to be like She-Hulk? Because if that's the case, I don't think I want another She-Hulk.
This seems like it should have been a movie to me, but...
Yeah.
Like, I don't really get why they would introduce a character like that in a show. I would rather just have like a 2-hour big budget fun movie to go see.
Kaysen, Marvel Spotlight, baby. Come on. You don't have to watch it.
I love Destin, though, so I'm in.
I'm going to say I care because of Destin and our boy. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a kind of a fun premise.
Uh-huh.
Kaysen, next up is a big one. Daredevil, Born Again. This show basically got Metroid Prime 4. That's a deep cut for those who understand. And kind of canceled and restarted after they filmed, I think, like 4 episodes because they realized it was not good. Which... Yeah. I gotta say, I appreciate that level of awareness. Like, you'd wish they knew that before they started filming, but at least they have the respect to be like, look, this property is too valuable to put out some bullshit, like we said with Blade, like we said with Fantastic Four.
Yeah, this is a really tough one, Keenan. I think, just to comment on this briefly, this is one of those IPs that I feel like has had actual brainwashing be done to me. Like,
oh, wow.
I cannot think of many other shows that I feel like people just bend over backwards to act like the original is one of the greatest things ever made. Like, people talk about the Netflix Daredevil show like it's some kind of 10 out of 10 jewel of superhero media. You know, like, oh my gosh, like, that was just something else. Like, you know, like, they gotta bring back, like, that character. Listen, I liked it. I thought it was great. When I really think back to it, I'm kind of like, was it really that good? Like, is this really something to be that hyped about? I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of it, even if it weren't being shoved onto Disney Plus as a show. So I think I am a bit of a hater of this one, I would classify myself as, but not because I think it's going to be terrible, just because I'm like, I don't think I'm on the hype train of this like other people are.
I think you put it well. I think Daredevil is kind of like every relationship that you're in where like, once it ends, you tend to just think of the good stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, like, remember when we went on the Ferris wheel? But then like, you forget about all the horrible stuff that happened, you know, like, and so
like Foggy.
Totally, exactly. Like, I mean, Daredevil had a lot of bullshit that was just bad. And but the thing is, when the highs were very high.
True.
And I think people, they do hold it in a little bit too high of regard, in my opinion. But I think they're more just concerned with keeping that tone and, like, character. You know, yeah. Like, that's what they're protective of more so than the actual plot lines of the show.
Mm-hmm. That's probably
so,
true.
I'm excited about it, though. This is definitely a care. I just don't know when it's going to be released since it got kind of scrapped and restarted.
Right.
But I will say, dude, I'm really excited because they got Benson and Moorhead from Loki season 2 to step in and kind of be like the showrunners and main directors. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, that's a huge get.
But about Case and Ironheart.
Don't care.
The story of Riri Williams from Wakanda Forever, who had the goofy Power Rangers suit at the end of the film.
Yeah. One of the many characters wearing a goofy Power Rangers suit at the end of the film.
I feel bad. Nothing personal against Riri, but this is like textbook. You got to just shelve this bullshit.
Yep.
Like, I mean, again, Marvel Spotlight. Okay, put it out, whatever. But like, this is something that is just not like
nobody cares.
Nobody wants this.
Yep.
Nobody. And yes, I know that's not true. 7 people want this. Sure. Okay. Some people are going to watch this. You're exactly right. But let's be real. Nobody wants this, dude.
Uh-huh. Agreed.
Armor Wars with Don Cheadle, fresh off his, well, I can't spoil it, but fresh off his turn in Secret Invasion. This is supposed to tie heavily into Rhodey. And I think some of the bullshit from Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
Big time don't care on this one.
Yeah, don't care.
Scrap it, send it in the garbage pile with friggin' the other BS we talked about.
Yep.
I just don't care. And this is like, I hope that Feige and whoever is pulling the strings over there, like, understands that, yeah, just don't. This is like what is diluting the brand straight up.
These are dumb. Like Agatha is also one of those things. It's like, why are you making this? But at least that one is kind of interesting where it's like, oh, like, what is this going to be like? Whereas these are just like so boring, you know, like nobody wants to know anything about these characters. Like, you can already just feel how the show is going to be without even seeing it.
Now, to be fair, though, and look, we haven't seen this yet, but we thought that about Echo, and then the trailer looked pretty great.
That's true.
But
these characters all have two legs, so.
I'm giving Armor Wars a big I don't care at the moment. But hey, a good trailer might change that.
Yeah. Well, I guess technically, Don Cheadle does have a spinal cord injury.
Oh, my gosh,
maybe they're on
dude.
Similar levels of impairment.
Dude, he got his vertebrae cracked.
Yeah, he did. He got vision.
Kaysen, two more. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings sequel. When in the name of friggin' Tony Leung is this thing dropping, dude?
This is honestly ridiculous that this is still date TBD. Like,
I think
how?
I really want to know what happened behind the scenes. Maybe one day we'll get a book from Simu. Like, doesn't it feel like the dude straight up did something to piss off
like his,
Marvel?
Has China been like breathing down Kevin Feige's neck or what? Like, why are they not making this?
Very weird. So weird. And I think the reason it's so weird is because Simu is a guy who really blew up after Shang-Chi. He had like a huge social media presence and was just everywhere. Like, he felt like he really was blowing up, and they just did nothing with the character. Nothing, dude. Nothing. And it's so weird to me. I just don't get it. I don't understand who's making these creative choices. It really does make you wonder, like, if was something up with Simu.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, they have announced they are making a sequel, though, right? So
yeah,
you
with
think
Destin.
If something was really up with him, then they wouldn't have done that. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I mean, Destin said one of the reasons he left Kang Dynasty is because of the sequel. He wants to focus on this.
Well, thank goodness. I hope he makes it amazing.
So this is a big time I care. I just won't believe it until I see that it's actually greenlit and being made.
Yeah, I mean, this is the type of thing that should come before Secret Wars, I feel like.
No question, dude. It should. Yeah, definitely. It should. Yeah. And I'm shocked it's not. So we'll see. I have big time expectations for that. Case and last thing. I mean, we can just lump these sequels all together, but the live-action Spider-Man sequels with our boy Tommy Holland, and hopefully we get Zendaya back.
This is the money to me, dude. I mean, this is like the most I care thing on this entire list, I would say. I think this is their chance, really, to make like huge, successful, high-quality, great storytelling movies. So they better not blow it, is all I have to say.
It's almost like the way No Way Home ended was so hype for the future of Spider-Man and like how that character was left off. But my fear is, like we always say with these movies, is that Sony is going to so awkwardly try to shoehorn in these bullshit, horrible characters from their villain universe that it's going to destroy these movies.
I hope not, dude. I mean, you would think that the failure of those movies would give them a clue not to.
Yeah, dude, but you can't say Venom failed. Really, just
I know,
Morbius
but everything
failed.
Else is. That's true. We'll see how Madame Web does.
It's going to fail. Madame Web is going to fail so hard, dude. Kraven probably as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I think that there's a lot of potential. The Miles Morales thing is in play. I'm sure at some point in these sequels we'll get introduced to Miles Morales. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it'll be amazing to see. I hope the direction they go with it is that Zendaya and Ned are like still in the movies, but they just don't know who he is, and he's just kind of like watching them, you know, slash like awkwardly randomly interacting with them without revealing that he knows them. I don't know. I think that would be cool.
That's a tough one, dude, just because it's like, how long do you keep that going? Because look, I like the way No Way Home ended just emotionally. I thought it hit just because the performances were good and they sold it. But it's like, that is kind of a dumb thing, like a stupid thing that happened. And it's almost like, by dragging that on and just making me remember like that a spell was put on these people, it's kind of like, I don't know, dude. Like, it's almost like maybe you could do that for one movie and then wrap it up.
Yeah, you might be right.
But yeah, I mean, Tom Holland is the linchpin. Like, he's got to be your focal point. I mean,
it's just kind of dumb, though, because he's obviously going to be in the Avengers movies. So they're going to have to undo that spell thing somehow, like, quickly, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably before he even gets his own movie.
I mean, as dumb as Marvel is currently, like, that's probably something they won't even think of until the draft has been written. And then some intern is going to walk in with Krispy Kremes and a Starbucks coffee and be like, Mr. Feige. He sounds like Morty. Mr. Feige, did you remember that nobody knows who Peter Parker?
Feige's going to be like, shit.
Feige just throws his hat across
Find
the room.
Me Waldron.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. He's like, get me Waldron. I just start screaming at Michael Waldron.
Get Kathleen Kennedy on the phone.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah. That's it, Kaysen, dude. That's what we wanted to do. Just talk about kind of where Marvel is, how we can help them along, and just what we think of their upcoming slate. I guess I don't know, man. I mean,
fast forward to 2027. Looking back from now, what has not come out yet? What do you think will be the best thing they put out?
That's a great question. Man, I mean, looking at this list, it's...
I think Deadpool 3 is a contender.
Yeah.
I think that...
Thunderbolts
is a contender. And then I think the Avengers movies are probably the contenders, would be my guess.
I totally agree. I think a dark horse could be Fantastic Four. Just if it's done right, I think it could be really interesting and charming and fun. And I think Shackman, again, is the right guy to do it.
I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say that Thunderbolts might be the best.
I love it. It has the most likable actors.
Yeah, it does. And I think it's just going to have a cool story that's not going to be overly convoluted.
Case, and final question before we say goodnight and log off. Because when you were saying 2027, I thought this is where you were going with it. So Secret Wars is over. It made $140 million worldwide. And Feige is brought out behind the woodshed and friggin' shot the
replaced
pistol.
By an AI.
Exactly. Yeah, replaced by Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah.
So replaced by Megan Thee Stallion. What do you do? Like, I know this is we're not going to go into this as deeply as we could, but like, what do you do next? Like, the slate is wiped clean. What do you do? What's your next move after Secret Wars to really kind of like reset the table?
You got to reset, dude. I mean, I think at that point you really do what we just talked about and pick a few characters that you can get commitments from and lock them in and build up their stories and make it personal and pick a next villain that can somehow tie into them and go from there. I mean, that's really what I would do. I would keep Shang-Chi if you can get Hemsworth to stay. I would keep Thor. I would keep Tom Holland Spider-Man. And then, honestly, otherwise, I would try and get some new characters. Maybe you could start sprinkling in new X-Men, like I said, but I would just go down, cut back on some things.
It's very tough, dude, because, I mean, what you're describing is essentially what they're doing. Like, I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, they're going to space it out more and kind of, like, hone it. But, like, I don't know. I just don't know if I like the idea of immediately trying to establish, like, a new big threat. It's almost like... maybe the best course of action is really lean into the X-Men and just give all the other characters a huge break.
Yeah.
I mean, we know they're not going to do that, though, because, like, look, like we said, we still have Shang-Chi coming out. We still have Doctor Strange 3 with Charlize Theron. Like, we still have all these loose...
I think they totally fumbled it with Wanda, but I actually do really like the idea of them building up a character and then having that character become the main villain. Like, in almost a twist type way, you know? I think that is a really cool idea. So if they can pull that off, I think that's a good direction to go rather than making it like Thanos or Kang where it's like, here's the bad guy.
So you think Wanda would be the villain?
I don't know who it should be unless they want to go the Magneto route, but kind of start out by making him a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Someone like that.
I definitely agree. I mean, look, I think the theme of our plan is just scale back. And I think that's what they need to do coming out of the gate once the table's clean. And I think, I mean, my opinion, I think this is probably as good of a moneymaker. But if it was me, I would make individual X-Men movie or like, you know, character movies leading up to the X-Men film. And make
That'd be
the
cool.
X-Men film like an event, like an Avengers level event. And dude, you could even do something. This is thinking far down the road, but if you just want to make a shitload of money, dude, a shitload of money, you could eventually lead in to some kind of Avengers versus X-Men movie.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, and everybody would go see it. Like, you could almost have two different storylines going where we do follow the Doctor Stranges, we do follow the Spider-Man and his sequel, Shang-Chi, whatever, and they're kind of on the Avenger storyline side.
Yeah.
And we're seeing how the X-Men are kind of antagonists in their eyes, and then we're seeing the X-Men's viewpoint from their solo movies.
That would be awesome, actually, because you could kind of build up the X-Men as like this looming threat, almost like how like Iron Man would probably see them from Civil War, where it's like, oh, we have to, like, you know, protect people from these powerful people.
These mutants.
Yes, and then you could have Magneto, you know, be like on the X-Men side, kind of like rallying them up, like, you know, they can't treat us like this, whatever.
And you could have characters like Ms. Marvel, if they want to continue with her, and even like Scarlet Witch, who I know has connections to Magneto in the comics and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Almost be kind of like a bridge between like where they're not really sure where their loyalties lie.
Yeah. I love it. They should do that.
I still stand by the idea, as far as Scarlet Witch goes, that in the Avengers movies, she will be like a secret weapon to doing something, where it's like there will be a hype as hell moment where it's like, we know the only person, and it's going to be Doctor Strange who realizes this, like, we know the only person who can do what we need to do right now.
I think so too. Him and Wong.
Oh my gosh.
We'll go get her back.
Oh man.
That's going to be nuts.
Anyway, Casey, it's been a fun one, dude. White Vision, dude. Get him over there.
Maybe that's going to be Vision Quest. Maybe that's his quest.
Yeah, put it on Disney Plus, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Let everybody go watch that moment on Disney Plus.
That's right.
It's been a fun one, Case, and thank you, man. So obviously we're going to do our year-end wrap-up at the beginning of January. Do you think we have another one in us between now and then? Some kind of maybe holiday special? I don't know. What do you think?
I think so. I'm kind of behind, though, dude. I got to go see Saltburn.
I don't think it'll be like
Saw 10.
Oh my gosh. I don't think it'll be like a recap. I'm just wondering if we can do something fun for Christmas. We might have to put our thinking caps on, see if we can. I just feel like to get to our top 10 extravaganza, it feels like we got to earn that. You know what I mean? And I feel like we've been a little lacking on content, almost like we got to drop one more thing between
now
and then.
We could do an Aquaman review.
Ooh, my man.
All
right, dude. Anyway,
we'll think about
thanks.
It.
Thanks for fixing the MCU. We hope everyone had a blast listening to this. And until next time, Casey, do you have any closing words? Do you want to leave us on a note of optimism for Marvel?
No, I think we pretty much said all that we can. I'm not very optimistic.
All right, dude. You save Marvel. Now go save Blanche from her osteoporosis. Thank you for joining me.
All right. Good night.
Good night.